Over to you, Robert.
Yes.
We need some like Star Wars music, don't we, or something?
I can start literally from the beginning with this one.
In the beginning, there was
a trillionth of a second after the Big Bang.
Right. We've only got 10 minutes though, so
yeah. I'm going to do. I mean, I'm not. I've never claimed to be a particle physicist.
Right. Okay.
Despite what my business card may say. So what I've learned is kind of the reading that I've done over the past 2 years.
Right. So you're really into this, are you?
I can be boring in a number of topics, and this is one of my specialities. But it is actually a much, much simpler thing than you would imagine. Often it's explained by people who are so in the world that they've kind of forgotten how to really make things nice and simple.
We are, of course, if you've just joined us, probably thinking, what on earth are you talking about? We're talking about the Higgs boltzmann.
Higgs boson.
No, it's called boltzmann, apparently.
We were looking at how to pronounce it.
Well, you're the first person I've heard ever say that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Apparently it says the Higgs boson, B-O-S-O-N, is actually pronounced boltzmann.
Have you been reading the Daily Mail again?
This is from the very reputable Guardian site.
The Guardian.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm going to say boson.
Okay.
I'm going to stick
go ahead.
That. And
all
right. if that leads to issues, then I shall take them on.
Okay.
So very simply, everything, atoms, particles, were for a trillionth of a second flying around all over the place, and then something happened which made things stick together, and that's why we have stuff. And this has been about finding out what that stuff actually is. So what's between the space that we can see? What is between you and me now? And what's making your atoms stick together to form you? And what's making things stick together to form me?
Mm-hmm.
And this has been done by firing atoms towards each other at near the speed of light. And then as they explode, see what they release and see what's in there.
Okay.
And this has been a theoretical idea that there must be something. And this is Professor Higgs, who postulated this from the University of Edinburgh in the 1970s. And there now appears to be enough evidence from enough sources to say that, yes, it does exist, and now we're going to try and find out what that thing is. And this may lead on to discoveries of other dimensions, to other explanations of how quarks and string theory works. And then it becomes complicated, and I don't understand it either. But I think what's interesting is is that it's the pursuit of knowledge purely for its own sake.
Yeah. This is what we were just talking about, this upside down. It's kind of like science for science's sake, it seems. And I suppose one could argue it's a bit like why go to space? Why spend billions on finding out going to space and all these sort of etc. For what purpose? How does it serve you and me, let's say? I mean, what reason? What are they going to learn to bring back to?
Without introducing an intense philosophical debate in the whole thing, what's the purpose of anything? Do you need to know that we don't live on a flat disk with a blue dome over it? Do you need to know that we live on a spinning globe that revolves around a star?
Yeah, but we know that already. 93
million years. Yeah, but we didn't know it. We didn't know it 1,000 years ago, and we know it now. We didn't know why gravity acts as it does.
But that's all been changed anyway, hasn't it? I think they've thrown all Newton's theories out the window since. I definitely understand what you're saying. That yes, of course, there's purpose to science, and definitely there's reasons for research and for advancements and technology, etc. But this is quite interesting, I think. And I could be completely wrong in this, I will say, because I don't know that much about it, but it seems that it's sort of, as I said, just for the sake of it, they don't seem to have a great purpose in doing it, other than what they're going to just do it and see what happens. Do you see what I mean?
But the whole point of learning, the whole point of education, is that it should be, in my opinion, for its own sake. That's the beauty of having a university education in a non-vocational practice. It's because you're doing it purely for the love of what's the point of learning history? What's the point of reading English literature? It's for its own sake, and the beauty of the exploration and the discovery of amazing, amazing magical things.
So are there no implications to this study? Does this affect our our other knowledge, like our scientific knowledge that affects like other day-to-day things or other research.
Well, they don't know. This is the whole point. They don't know. They have no idea if it will or not.
If
it could be used for detrimental purposes, possibly, they don't know.
What's happened is...
If it gets into the wrong hands.
What happened is that a theory, an idea, a model that existed to explain why things stick together now appears to be correct.
Oh, it appears to be correct.
Yeah.
Oh, so basically something that always was... it's just like it's being proven as opposed to challenged.
The world is no different today than it was yesterday, other than we know an awful lot more about the makeup of
it's
the
like
universe and
I know what
the
happened
world
last
us.
Big Bang kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you imagine this particle got into the wrong hands and
well, something, this is
I'm stuck to you or Melina. Matter changes in the way it sticks.
You have to build yourself a large Hadron Collider first, which is 27 kilometres long.
With a few thousand helium bubbles. There was a great article, actually, in the, I think it was The Guardian, and it had a whole, because it is quite complicated, and I think you described it very, very well. Thank you for that. They also say that it depends, how you describe it just depends on who you're describing it to. And so they had a whole series of, you can describe it for people who are trying to impress. I'll only read one sentence of this. It says, the Higgs boswain is an elementary scalar particle first posited in 1962 as a potential byproduct of the mechanism by which a hypothetical ubiquitous quantum field, blah, 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 for the harassed, sleep-deprived parent, if the constituent parts of matter were sticky-faced toddlers, then the Higgs field would be like one of those ball pits they have in the children's play area in IKEA. And it goes on, I won't read them all, but it's actually quite funny. One of them says, for a member of the Taxpayers Alliance, the discovery is a colossal, unprecedented, almost infinite waste of money.
Well, I was going to say, who's funding that research?
Yeah, it's costing a lot of money. But yeah, but he was almost in tears, wasn't he, Professor Higgs, when he found out what he discovered.
It's his life's work. I mean, people have been working on this for their entire adult lives. I mean, it's an extraordinary thing that it's finally come to pass. Lots of people have been quite sniffy about the money.
Do we know what's now going to happen? What they're going to do with this?
I have to analyse the information results for many, many years.
Right. Okay. So we still don't really know anything.
Well. You're very hard to please.
No.
Is what I would suggest.
Maybe come back to me in a few years if you've got anything more you'd like to say.
In 100 years' time. Join us on the next episode.
The press conference with Galileo saying, "Well, I found that actually it's not
the world's
Earth,
not
it's
flat."
The sun. So what we can do with that information?
So
Mr.
what?
Galileo.
That's
so
not
what?
True.
So
all
what?
I'm still going. Really
I'm still going down the shops. Poor man.
Anyway, well, thank you very much. It is interesting. Sorry, we're just having a bit of a laugh about it. This is good fodder for your stand-up career,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
How is that? How did it
there's
go last lo- night? Anyway,
there's lots of comedy in particle physics.
Is there?
Yeah.
Well, you've had us in. We've had us laughing. Anyway,
that sounds like spam.
I think that's been done on
particles. In Carlo's inbox.
Last night was wonderful. We had to turn people away, which,
really?
Which is a good and a bad thing. Yes,
wow.
At the Pavilion. It was the last show before Ramadan.
Okay.
And yes, it was jam-packed.
So just to briefly say, Robert is a stand-up comedian in your spare time, let's say.
Yes.
And last night, I think, was that the first one that you had?
It was the last performance before the break.
Okay.
The Ramadan break. It's a group. It's not just me. It's a bit more
formal
than that,
yeah.
We hope. It's a group called Comedy Dubai,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of came together because we wanted to perform and realised there was a huge lack of opportunities to do that around the city. So rather than wait for something to happen,
did it yourself.
Dubai is this kind of place. We thought, well, let's give it a go.
I think you are so brave. I think, for me, the thought of standing up in front of a crowd of people telling jokes, I think it was one of the most petrifying things.
I can guarantee that it is.
Is it?
One of the most petrifying things. I last night was the first time that I didn't feel terrible.
Really?
Before, during and afterwards.
Oh, I was going to say, how, but you felt? Did you feel okay after it, though?
Yeah, I mean, what normally it's a terror beforehand,
yeah.
panic on, during the performance and a kind of loathing afterwards.
And how do you feel today, the day after?
No, it was good. It was good. People did laughing. And that's the only way you can be
But I think that's the thing. It's like you stand up in front of this crowd of people who've paid money. I don't know if they did last night.
Nope, it's all free.
Okay, but say in the clubs, for example, and it's like, okay, go on then, make me laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you sit back and you go, entertain me. Off you go then. I just think, I think the pressure of that is just...
But in the same way, you know, the red light goes on and if you don't speak, there's nothing on the radio.
And I don't have to make people laugh.
It's a job and you prepare and you practice and you rehearse and you try things out.
But you enjoy it,
and you
though.
Get better. Yeah, of course. Yes, I mean, there's no financial reward, I can assure you. So the point of it is because it's good to be part of something as it begins, as it emerges. Well, and what we found is because we said, if you want to have a go... then let us know. So we have the open mic slots and there are so many people.
Really?
We had 5 people last night who had never performed before having a go.
Do you fancy it, Millie?
And what's fascinating?
Stand-up comedy?
You'd be most welcome. But what's fascinating about the makeup, of course, is because it's a reflection of where we live and people from every single background and walk of life.
Yeah.
And race, and that's what makes it so fun.
Well, I think it's brilliant, and I wish you all the very, very best with the next series. You must come back and tell us all about it.
I will.
Thanks very much. Thanks to all of you. We've had a rather diverse conversation this afternoon, as always, but it's been wonderful. Thank you very much to Melina Mitri, and we also must just quickly, very, very, we're so over time already, but Zayan, who's the founder of Source, is going to be, you've got a little pop-up shop in Beirut.
Yes, yeah. So very quickly, she's just opened last week. It's in Beirut Souks, and it's there for the summer. And that was, I mean, we were there last week. We had a little launch party. It was a lot of fun. And it's very, very cute. It's a beautiful little shop. Oh, and she's got also some jewelry designers with her.
Like, and her clothes in Dubai as well?
Yeah, her clothes are at Source.
Okay.
But yeah, so this is like a summer thing. So if you're in Beirut in summer.
Head down there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Melina.
Thanks,
great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for us.
You're most welcome. Yeah.
That's Melina Mitri, there, is the PR and marketing for Source. And a big thanks also to Robert Hillier, and said all the very best with everything.
Thank you.
And
with
your comedy. And, we're going to take a quick break. We've got the news headlines. When we come back, though, it is time for our entrepreneur. And this week, it's going to be wonderful to welcome to the studio Maria Dowling, who is the creative director of the Maria Dowling Hairdressing Salon. She's got loads to talk to us about. That's all coming up after this.